This week, we will be celebrating in one form or fashion Thanksgiving. And typically when we think of giving thanks, we think of the big stuff. We thank God for our health, and we thank God for our families, and we thank God for relative tranquility in our lives. And these things are certainly worthy of giving thanks. They're worthy of our gratitude. But this morning, I want us to look at a scripture passage that gives thanks for the more mundane things in life. And it is found, as you have already heard, in probably the least thanksgiving portion of the scriptures, Ecclesiastes. Most of the contents of Ecclesiastes speak of the vanity or the emptiness of life. However, about halfway through, there are these three verses written by, quote unquote, the teacher, which are verses of hope and optimism. And as we read it, I want you to think about that very fact. Think of life in some regards as the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything is meaningless. Everything is empty. Everything is vanity. And yet, at moments, God's light shines through. Everything I put my trust in fails to satisfy. And yet, for a moment, I recognize that if I put my trust in God, then I will be satisfied with whatever I have. While life can seem to be senseless drudgery, God is with us, and that makes all the difference. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes 5, 18 to 20. Three verses, three thoughts. Verse 18. The teacher reflects on what is good and beautiful. Let me read verse 18 again. Then I realize that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him. For this is his lot. Now, as we live our lives, we may consider our work as something outside of our relationship with God. Many people live compartmentalized lives. There's the spiritual life, which is worship and prayer and Bible study. And then there is the earthly existence. And our time is filled with work and routine and amusement and tedium and the like. But God, in this verse and in other places in the scriptures, tells us that he has transformed our whole lives. Not just a few roles in our lives. And we are to see the goodness of the life that God has given us. God's word tells us that the ordinary is good, is healthy, is wholesome. God's goodness is in eating and drinking and working. Now, we may say to ourselves, no, that's just what we do until we find the good things. But the teacher, in the midst of all that is empty suddenly has this realization, this lightning or light bulb that goes off in his head and says, I have come to recognize, or I have seen that it is good and proper to eat and drink and to toil all the days of our lives. We are to take what God gives us, what we eat, what we drink, what we do, and make the most of it. To make our toilsome labors, whatever they are, wherever you will be Tuesday at 2, that God has looked and said, this is good. This is beautiful, fitting, and proper. God's work is God's way of giving us what we need. God's work is intertwined with our eating and drinking. Work is God's way of giving our deeds purpose. It is not just busy work. It is not just something to occupy our time until Christ returns. It is good and fitting. It is good and beautiful. It is good and proper. It is our portion, our share, our lot. It is the means of divine provision. It is what God has given us. And life is short. God has given us food and drink and toilsome labor for as many days as we have under the sun. But God has given it to us. And we are expected to enjoy what we have while we have it. To recognize that God has given us life, and it is filled at times with the good and proper toilsome labor which affords us what we need. And we ought to thank God that he loves us so greatly to give us our portion, to give us our lot in life, our place in this world, our food and drink and work. But it's not always that simple. Verse 19. The teacher reminds us of just one of the gifts of God. Let me read verse 19. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. Now, many consider the bonuses of life the blessings of God. That our paycheck is not a blessing from God, but the bonuses, the extras, the overtime, that's the way God blesses our lives. Many people assume that the extras are from God and the ordinary is from our own labor. That I earn what I earn, and it's mine to dispose of. And what I don't earn is a blessing that I can share if I choose with others. But what God says, what the teacher says here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is that we are to express joy in the excess that God gives us. God gives some people at some times wealth and possession. But in the context of this letter, the entirety of Ecclesiastes, we need to understand that these wealth and possessions are ephemeral. They are like paper, that they disintegrate over time. Jesus even says this. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths can eat and rust can eat and robbers can steal. We're not talking here that this is some sort of guarantee because we have wealth or possessions. But rather, what the teacher is saying is this. Not only does God give us wealth and possessions at times, but the real gift of God is that we enjoy them. There are plenty of people who have plenty of stuff that don't enjoy it. And God is saying here, recognize when you have been blessed to enjoy the blessing while you have it. God enables us to enjoy our acquisitions because enjoyment is not automatic. And this too is part of our share. It's part of our lot. It's part of our portion. To have joy in the ways that God provides. To enjoy the things that God provides. And if we take verses 18 and 19 and overlap them, that toilsome labor is not simply to say, oh, I have something to eat. I have something to drink. But rather, I am going to enjoy what God has provided me to eat, whatever it may be. I'm going to enjoy whatever God has given me to drink. I am going to enjoy how God is providing in my life. That I have production, that I have purpose, that I am accomplishing something. Let us therefore give thanks for the special times of life that God gives us and the ordinary times of life that God gives us, for they are a gift of God. And God at times gives us more than we need so that our joy might increase. And we thank God that he loves us so greatly. There is one more verse here. The teacher recognizes the blessing of God. Verse 20. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. When we trust in God's portion for us, when we trust God for our portion, he gives us grace. What the scriptures say here is that we do not remember our days. We do not remember the toilsome labor. We do not remember the suffering. We do not remember the anguish. We do not remember the slights. We do not remember the hurts. Our minds, by God's grace, are not filled with snapshots of difficulties. Instead, what the scriptures say is that God busies our hearts with gladness. He occupies our hearts with gladness. But it's not that they take residence. It is that they consume our attention. They consume our thoughts. The joys of God's provision and providing and giving us our portion fills us with all-consuming gladness. If we let him. Unfortunately, we do not always allow God to occupy our minds and our hearts, the core of our being, with gladness. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." We can do all the right things and not have contentment. We can do all the right things and be consumed with the hardships. And what Paul writes in 1 Timothy, what the teacher, probably Solomon, writes in Ecclesiastes, is that by grace we are allowed to no longer remember the details of our days because he occupies our hearts with joy, with gladness. Elizabeth Elliot said this, "The secret of contentment is Christ in me, not me in different circumstances." So we trust God to keep us occupied with joy. Let us therefore give thanks to God's grace that it keeps us from remembering our aches and grants us remembrances of gladness. God is continually occupying the core of our character with gladness, leaving no room in our lives to remember the troubles that we endure. If we accept the gift and we thank God for his love and that he loves us so greatly, in the ordinary, and in the abundance and at all times, God is blessing our lives. Our sermon in a sentence is this: give thanks for the gift of God that supplies our lot and our joy. We all have needs. As Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." At times he meets our needs through purposeful work. And at times he meets our needs through acquiring possessions and wealth. And at all times he is meeting our needs while filling our hearts with joy. Your work, paid or volunteer, is good and beautiful and worthy of giving thanks. Your efforts are a source of joy. God blesses us with our remembrances of gladness and not the toil, but the triumph. Give thanks for the gift of God that supplies our lot and our joy. Shall we pray?